This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Visiting today with a 92-year-old World War II veteran originally from rural Virginia. Mel Cobb was sent to Fresno, California as part of his training. He met his wife Emily on the dance floor during that time and returned to the San Joaquin Valley shortly after World War II. He's been in Fresno ever since. We've heard about some of the work he did with the 850th Engineer Aviation Battalion, constructing strategically important airstrips as they moved across Europe after landing in Normandy 2 weeks after D-Day. To see some photos of the kind of work Mr. Cobb and his fellow engineers did, pull up his photo gallery on Facebook. Just type in Hometown Heroes Radio.
So you built runways in England. You built runways in France. You built runways in Germany. We've heard about, you know, your tent getting shot off from on top of you. And I'm curious, too, you guys were not too far from the fighting at the Battle of the Bulge, the famously brutal winter. How did you experience that winter?
It was cold and snowy, and we always had heaters and stuff in there. Well, I had 14, 15 guys that I was in charge of, and that was one built tent. That's what we used to keep warm. Had a heater and put it in and put wood in there, and that's what kept us alive, I guess, from freezing to death.
Are there any other duties that you had that you want to tell us about? I mean, we've heard about going through minefields with the mine detector, removing those, laying down the different parts of runways. Did you ever have to put together any bridges or anything like that? Was there anything else you did?
Well, we went across the Rhine River in Germany, and before we could get across that, they had to use these pontoon, I think, to put them out because that was all blown up, and the bridges was all blown up. And then in the meantime, when we got there, we had some big guns along with us that the Germans would float down, put a mine on the river and float it down. And we had to set up our guns to shoot them if it did come down while we were going through.
Yeah, to shoot the mine in the water so it wouldn't blow up the bridge?
Yeah. Whatever they throw down coming down that Rhine River there, that's what we had to do in order to get across and keep from blowing up our pontoon ridge.
Did you have much of an understanding of what you were fighting for?
Well, at that time, you know, you're talking about fighting for freedom to be in a world where you could live and have what you want and do what you want to do in life. It's a lot of things that people don't realize that they've got a good life and they don't appreciate whatever they have. I was one that really thought into it that it was a right thing to do.
Did you ever have to deal with the loss of a guy that you served with, losing a friend?
I did. I had a kid that drove a truck for me. He was 19 years old. His picture's in that book. And we were tearing down a big building, and I think some of it was like they used a lot of concrete, and they had put concrete slats on top of the roof, and the bums had, you know, shattered it all. We was going to go over there, and I had to take my guys and some more guys to go up there so we could take all that stuff off and then redo it. I forgot to get him to bring some water, so I says, you go back to camp and get some water because we're going to need water soon. And he said, well, I want to go around this corner here and go up and see some of the kids up there on top. Well, when he got down there where those guys was, they were dropping down that cement slab stuff, and one hit him right smack on the head, and it folded him up just like a rubber ball. That was an experience I'll never forget. And the concrete was that heavy, it was just like squeezing it together like this. And that was when he was 19 years old.
Well, and I'm glad you shared that, because I think a lot of people just have a very narrow or surface view of different roles in war. And the fact is, no matter what you're doing, it's dangerous work, and anything can happen at any time. And the work you did was certainly important to the overall picture with building the runways and allowing the fighters to do their work. And as that story illustrates, it wasn't without danger. Have you ever found yourself over the years thinking about what that young man would have done with his life?
Well, he lost the best part of his life. He wasn't married, and he had everything going for him as a young kid, 19 years old. And he drove a truck for me everywhere I went. He was my truck driver, and just a good kid. Well, all of our guys were, you know, you can find good and bad in anybody or anything, but they were all a good bunch of people, men, young men. And that was about my biggest thing, to see something like that happen to a young kid.
Yeah, and I don't know if those of us that weren't alive during that time can really understand the magnitude of this, but 400,000 Americans, more than 400,000 died during World War II. That's a pretty heavy price to pay for our freedom. What, when you think back on World War II, what is it that you think those of us who weren't around then and future generations, what should we remember about that time in our history and what all you guys did?
Well, I think to me, you know, people nowadays is take everything for granted. That, so what? You were in the service and you did this and you do that. So, but I say that's okay. I did my part, I think. And people today don't realize what it means to have freedom and do what you want to do. And that's always been my way, you know. I mean, you can do things and have things, but still have respect for the people that you know, regardless of who they are. It's getting to the point now where, you know, if you can do something wrong, why not do it wrong and get away with it? And it's not right. It's not right to kill young kids and old people like that one guy, take him and beat him up for what? He's had his life to live. Why not leave him alone? Why would you want to do something like that? But we've got that in this country today, and I never would have believed that this country would be the shape that it's in. Who am I to say, you know? But I know right from wrong, and if I do wrong, I want to be paid for it.
Yes, and hopefully the wrongdoers in that case will be apprehended soon. If you missed it, Fresno, California made headlines this past week when robbers broke into the home of a World War II veteran and assaulted him. Offers of support are pouring in from all over for Joseph Martine, like Mr. Cobb, our guest today. Mr. Martine is 92 years old. He survived the Battle of the Bulge, but in this incident, he lost some priceless mementos from his World War II days in that robbery. Those cannot be replaced, but one of the things I'd like to see Mr. Martine receive is a free trip to Washington, D.C. and the World War II Memorial with Central Valley Honor Flight. Flight number 2 is tentatively planned for March, but the inaugural flight is taking off this coming week, and I'll share a few thoughts on that before we're done today.
When you think back on all that you went through, what would you say you're most thankful for?
Think I've had a good life. I had a wonderful wife, bar none. I got a nice son, I have a granddaughter, and I have a great-grandson. So that means more to me than I could ever expect.
Especially when you consider that your son and your granddaughter and great-grandson wouldn't be here if you weren't hiding under those boards that night, huh?
That's right.
You mentioned about coming home and she wasn't your wife yet, but she was waiting for you. I don't know that I asked you about that moment. What did it feel like for you to look over and see her again?
Words can't express it. My brother from where we lived to Richmond was about 30 miles, and my brother went up and got her and brought her home, and then I went to Richmond. Then I find my way back home on the bus. That's when I didn't know it till then.
So you didn't know she was there?
No, I didn't know she was there.
Sounds like that might have been the best surprise of your life right there.
You know, you can go and do and see people and do things, but I don't know. She was just words can't express the love she had for me and I for her. We were married for 60 years.
Well, I want to say thank you for serving our country and thank you for telling us some of those stories. You know, one thing I didn't ask you about, the civilians in France and Germany. Did you mingle with them much at all? Did you get any kind of feeling for how they felt about what you guys were doing there?
We'd see them and that would be it. And we more or less kept to ourselves because you never know what's going to happen, regardless of what people are, who they were or were, whether they were Germans or Frenchmen or whatever. You had a lot of respect for them and they too towards you to do the same. We went through Paris, you know, that Germans had taken Paris, but then we took it back, so we went through Paris on our way to wherever we were going. A lot of people had respect for us, you know. They'd go out jumping out of windows and calling and hollering and thanking us for coming through. And
I imagine that kind of scene as you're going through the streets of Paris and here these civilians are out there thanking you and doing all that. That probably makes you feel like what you're doing is worthwhile.
Yep, that's right. If it wasn't worthwhile, we wouldn't be doing it.
Simple as that, huh? Well, I hope you at home have enjoyed our conversation with 92-year-old Mel Cobb as much as I have. I said I wanted to bend your ear about Honor Flight before we finish today, and I'm going to take that opportunity now. If you're a regular listener to Hometown Heroes, you've heard off and on about Honor Flight for years. If you haven't seen the documentary on this effort to get our World War II veterans to their memorial in Washington, D.C., you have a great opportunity coming up November 9th in Bakersfield. Honor Flight Kern County, which has been flying veterans from the Bakersfield area and the Central Coast area out to Washington, D.C., will be hosting a screening of this outstanding film. I've seen it a couple times. There is never a dry eye in the house. This is going to be at the Bakersfield Fox Theater November 9th. Tickets are free for World War II vets, $15 for everyone else, and you can get them by calling this number, 661-544-VETS. That's 661-544-VETS. That'll be in Bakersfield November 9th. But this next week, you have an opportunity in Fresno to be part of the inaugural Central Valley Honor Flight. 70 World War II veterans from Fresno, Tulare, Kings, Merced, Madera, and Mariposa counties will be boarding a charter flight to our nation's capital early in the morning on this coming Tuesday, October 29th. If you'd like to get out to the Fresno Yosemite International Airport and help us send them off, try to be out there Tuesday morning about 5:15 a.m., I know it's early, but it'll be worth it. Fresno State Coach Tim DeRuiter, who served 7.5 years in the Air Force, he's going to be there with us to give the veterans an early morning pep talk. We'll start it all off with reveille from a 95-year-old World War II veteran who still blows a better bugle than anybody else I know. So many volunteer hours have gone into putting this together, and so many of you have donated money also. Each one of those contributions has made a difference and helped make this possible. And Central Valley Honor Flight has received large donations from the Educational Employees Credit Union, EECU, the Clovis Veterans Memorial District, Johansson Transportation Service, Farney Automotive Group. The list goes on and on. The Madera Rotary Club, the Tulare Downtown Association. It's been so exciting to see so many people come together from all over in our valley to honor these veterans. And now it's here. It's actually happening. So feel free to join us at the airport Tuesday morning. And even more important, I think, is that you be there Thursday afternoon to welcome them back from this incredible experience. Come to the Fresno airport Thursday at about 4:15 p.m. and welcome these heroes home. You can bring a homemade sign if you want, bring a flag. Most importantly, bring your gratitude for our greatest generation and help show these veterans how much we appreciate what they did for us. You'll be in good company with the mayor of Fresno, a pep band from Fresno State, a bunch of active duty sailors from Lemoore Naval Air Station who are making a special effort to be there. This is the first, but with your help, it will not be the last. Let's make it unforgettable. Thursday, I know it's Halloween, but be there at 4:15 p.m. before you get to trick-or-treat time. I hope you'll take advantage of this historic opportunity to prove to our veterans that you believe those four words I close Hometown Heroes with each and every week. Here they are right now. Freedom is not free.